You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Thursday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Heard from LeBron haters in the first hour. Jets fans that want to see their team lose tonight. We'll talk about that coming up. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp at danpatrick.com. Your headlines from last night. Lakers rough up the Heat. Down 13. Eventually went up by 30. And they won 116-98. Bam Adebayo and Goran Dragic injured. I don't know if Goran Dragic is going to be able to play. And Jimmy Butler got banged up as well. But so did the Miami Heat. Broncos at the Jets tonight. Now, you can have a matchup that's not good and still have a good game. Like, if this is 31-28 with 2 minutes to go, it could be a good game. It's not a good matchup. You may not tune in until the final quarter, maybe. I'm probably going to wait. I'm going to take the first quarter off. Fritzy, you will watch the first quarter since you're a Broncos apologist.
I plan to watch the whole game if it's not totally lopsided in Jets' favor.
Thank you, Todd. Broncos at the Jets coming up tonight. Astros, Rays, Yankees advance. Five more games today and tonight in Major League Baseball. Peter King a little bit later on. The breaking news is that we have the Steelers and the Titans game rescheduled. It was going to be on a week four. It was going to be maybe Monday, maybe Tuesday. Rescheduled later this season. One additional Titans player, one additional personnel member tested positive for COVID-19 today. The announcement of the new game date will be made shortly. We checked in with Mike Florio because we brought this up to him the other day, just in case this scenario happened. He said what could happen is week seven, Steelers and Titans, the Steelers-Ravens would move to week eight. The Ravens' bye week would go to week seven, and you would somehow be able to get this game in. The NFL was prepared for this to happen. I don't think they were prepared. I checked with my source this morning. I've not heard back that the NFL was prepared for midway or three quarters of the way through where you would have maybe some players a little bit more lax with COVID-19 and some of the restrictions and safety protocols. But here we are going into week four, and I get the feeling the NFL just said, there's probably going to be more positive tests in Tennessee. Let's just do the safe thing and move this and give them a couple extra weeks here. As far as trying to reschedule this, I guess the Vikings and Texans are still on. Have we heard anything to the contrary? I didn't hear any positives with the Vikings. Peter King will join us coming up next hour. But that game, the Titans and the Steelers, a battle of two undefeateds, has been rescheduled, and we'll keep an eye out on when that will be. Probably, though, it'll be in the next three or so weeks. 877-3DP-SHOW. Poll question, McLovin, what do we have today?
So we have two choices that we're narrowed down for. First, should the Jets try to win tonight? Or if you were a fan, would you be happy if they win? Because you've convinced me now that they have to go in for Trevor Lawrence.
Well, I don't know what they're doing. And there's a lot of times when you have confidence in, like I have total confidence in the Steelers doing the right thing. In finding a running back, finding a wide receiver. They found some really good, Dupree and Watt are really good defensive players. You know, they made the trade to get Minka Fitzpatrick. The Ravens, I always think that they make the right move. They're very good in the draft. They're just certain teams that you have trust in. And it goes back to when people said, oh, the Browns got all these draft picks. And I said, well, who's making the picks? You can have all the draft picks, but if you're not good, then you end up with Brandon Whedon. You don't, Johnny Manziel. Like you got to have the right people in there. And I don't know if the Jets have the right people in there. You know, is Adam Gase a head coach in the NFL? I said no. I've said that before. I don't know Adam Gase. He doesn't strike me as a head coach. He's a great coordinator by all accounts. Do you have the right GM now with the Jets? Is ownership, where are they? The Johnson family, that goes, to a lot of that where you look at, the Patriots with their ownership there. And then, Bill Belichick, having trust that they'll find the right people to do the job. How many of those franchises are there in all of sports where you go, I got total confidence in them and I don't have confidence in the Jets? They've tried a variety of ways. They have no skill positions. You got Sam Darnold. You're not sure who he is. And am I trying to be 6-10, 7-9 at best? Or would I just say, look, you know, let's just close up shop here. We're not going to win. Maybe we win three games. Yeah, Paul.
I'm looking back at the 2018 draft, and the reviews are all very positive for the Jets. And the biggest compliment they're saying with the Jets drafting Sam Darnold, number three overall, it's a safest pick. It's a smart pick. He's the least likely to be a bust. They're like, Baker Mayfield, as much as he's exciting, he could be a bust. That's what the reviewers are saying.
Yeah.
He was the first pick. Josh Allen, seventh out of Wyoming. Great player, big arm, accuracy issues. He could be a bust. And then you go down to Josh Rosen in 10th pick. The Jets got total compliments after the draft by the draft experts for doing the safe, smart, 10-year pick.
But that's why I don't care what your grade is after the draft. I need to know 3 years in. 3 years in, who do you want? Do you want Sam Darnold or Josh Allen? My grade at the draft, we got a great grade. It doesn't matter. If I said to the Cleveland Browns right now, you can have Josh Allen or Baker Mayfield. If I said to the Jets, you could have Josh Allen or Sam Darnold. So, hey, you got a great draft grade. It doesn't matter. You got to wait a couple of years, usually 3 years, certainly at that position. Yeah, McClellan.
There's early reviews on this kid they got, Mekhi Becton. He's supposed to be the breakout rookie.
Supposed to be, but he's injured, right?
He's kind of been in and out, but he's getting like these Twitter highlights. He's a machine. He destroys people.
That's good because
this is the GM's first draft, by the way. He got hired after the 2019 draft, so you have no idea what you have in the GM, right? It's
not yet, but if that's his first draft, then great. I mean, that's why Ozzie Newsome is so valuable. You could say He deserved most valuable votes. You know, when you think about value to a team in the NFL, Ozzie Newsome was incredible with the draft that he had. Yes, Heaton.
There's an article in the New York Daily News from 2017 that said that the headline is Giants winning suck for Sam bid is a painful, all too familiar narrative for the Jets. And then the first line is, the Jets made all the right moves to suck for Sam, but it's the Giants who instead are sucking for Sam. And this has to make Gangrene Nation nauseous. Both teams in New York were fighting over
Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold.
I know. And both have quarterbacks that you're just not sure. I don't know if Daniel Jones is a franchise quarterback. I am told he has played well this year, believe it or not. The team just isn't any good. Yeah, Paulie.
It's if you look at comparing stats, Sam Darnold has a little more passing yards and more touchdowns for his career so far than Josh Allen, but he's got way more interceptions.
Yeah, but that's because he doesn't have any weapons, and he's forcing it. You know, he's trying to make something happen. Sam Darnold, we're going to realize he's going to have a Ryan Tannehill situation where the next team he goes to, we're going to find out how good Sam is or how good he's not. But I don't think he's going to be able to prove that with the Jets anytime soon. But that is coming up tonight. Lakers all over the Heat, as I mentioned, the injuries there. If you just look at the stats and I said that the Lakers are going to shoot 40% from three-point range, I'm going to probably say how much did they win by? Because they're very good at scoring in the paint. Miami has, it's an uphill battle, even with everybody healthy there. And Anthony Davis is the best player on the floor. And when that happens, LeBron will fill in the gray area there. And when he does that, then nobody's going to beat him. But as I pointed out in the first hour, there was an article, NBC Sports, Dan Feldman. He argues the Lakers have had the easiest road to the finals in NBA history. So they've only won one game, but it looks like we're already ready for the coronation there. And here's LeBron talking about what happened in that first quarter where the Miami Heat jumped out by 13.
I don't think in the beginning that we were physical enough. You have to get a feel for how hard Miami plays. And I think, they smacked us in the mouth and we got a sense of that. And so we knew how hard we had to play if we wanted to try to make it a game. You know, from that moment when it was 23-10, we started to play to our capabilities.
Here's Anthony Davis on how he felt after last night's performance.
First time I'm experiencing this, so obviously you want to come out and play well and you want to come out and win. Like I said, I've always put pressure on myself. I had the same thing game one of the Western Conference Finals as well. So when the ball gets tipped up, all that goes away and it's just basketball, but everything leading up to it, you're very excited. Your adrenaline is going early, because you're so excited just to be here and get ready to go out there and play. So, it went away early, but it was a great experience for him. A great game one. Job's not done. We have three more.
Yeah, but as long as he is, well, gives the appearance he's your alpha, then let him go. Feed him. And, you know, that's where LeBron, I think, just that basketball IQ is. I want Anthony Davis in rhythm. I want him getting some early buckets, easy buckets, you know, getting him going. And then once he gets going, gets on a roll, you can just see that confidence level. But everybody played well last night. You know, playoff Rondo was great. You know, Dwight Howard's in there. Caruso's playing well. And you have that, you know, Miami's not going to beat that team. But they're not going to beat that team, even if they're healthy, because LeBron and Anthony Davis. And you shoot well from three-point range. Because that was, you know, that was the big question mark. Go back to the bubble. You know, remember the all those columns and all the talk about, man, they can't shoot. You know, they can't shoot threes. How are they going to win? They can't shoot. Well, they did shoot well last night, and you would have thought the Miami Heat. If I said somebody shot 40% from three-point range last night, you go, wow, the Heat? Nope, Lakers. Doc Rivers and the 76ers, there's, I guess, discussions there. My thought was when I first heard about Doc maybe going to the 76ers, first I thought, I was told, hey, don't be surprised if he sits a year out. He'll be even more attractive, you know, attractive to somebody, you know, if he sits out a year. And kind of surveys the situation of where he wants to coach next, but maybe does some TV. I look at the 76ers as a younger version of the Clippers. They haven't accomplished anything, but they certainly act like they have. And I don't want to walk into a situation with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons because I don't think they like each other. And I don't think they complement each other. But Doc's going to have his opportunity here, but that would not be the team that I would want to coach. Because I got a lot of big contracts on that roster there. And that's a tough town when you're walking in, and they expect something because they've been told to expect something, and nothing's really materialized. Yeah, Paulie?
If you were Doc Rivers and the Pelicans called, you're probably not going deep in the playoffs next year. You're a young, exciting, very popular team because of Zion, obviously. But do you have the patience at his age, even though he's not that old, for a long process?
I don't know what his time frame is. You know, that I'm going to coach for X number of years, but, you know, I always thought that Doc at some point would get back into coach or back into TV work. If Van Gundy leaves, does Doc, you know, does he look and see, you know, does Van Gundy get a job here? I don't know anybody else that, you know, you're going to go, hey, you know, does he want to be a studio analyst? I mean, after what happened, you know, do you just want to sit one out here? But 76ers would not be the place that I would want to go. Yeah, McLovin.
What about like a new coach? Like everyone wants to find a Nick Nurse or a is there a guy like that for the Sixers? Would you go try a new blood instead of D'Antoni or Doc?
Well, if you say, okay, we want to bring in D'Antoni. Now, this is just what's been published. We're going to bring in D'Antoni, but we want to trade Embiid, and then we want to try to get James Harden. Man, we're just complicating it. You're going to trade Embiid, and you're going to try to bring in James Harden. What kind of offense are you running here? I still got Al Horford. This isn't what D'Antoni does. I'd rather have Embiid than I would Ben Simmons if I got D'Antoni in there. Because at least he's a matchup problem and he can shoot. Ben Simmons is a matchup problem, but he has a shooting problem as well. And I can't imagine in D'Antoni's offense that would go over well. But if I'm Doc and I look at the 76ers, I go, oh, no. It feels like you got headaches. It's just younger players with headaches. And then that wouldn't be an ideal situation. Barry in Long Island, New York. Hey, Barry, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, Dan. 5'9", 190. Thank you. Oy, my Jets. They're giving me such spilkus. The back row can translate for you.
I'm 1% Jewish, Barry, so I can understand that. Good yontif. Much nachas.
Oy, I'm quelling. very, very confused.
Okay.
While the game's on, I root for them to win. But the other 6 days and 20 hours during the week, I hope they lose. I don't know what to do.
Do you want them to win tonight, Barry?
Right at this moment, no.
Okay.
During the game, yes.
Well, good luck tonight, because I get the feeling, even if they want to win, it's one thing where you go, hey, let's tank. They can try to win, and it doesn't matter. But if I'm a fan and I'm watching my team, when I'm watching the game, I want them to win. But, you know, when you start to think about what is the smartest thing for your team to do, and that is get a real high draft pick here, get that rookie contract with a quarterback, and then start to fill in the gray area there, your needs. But you got to have a great front office. I mean, that's the most important part. You know, your capologist, who's your draft? You know, Jerry Jones has tried to sabotage his own team because he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. He wanted Johnny Manziel. Dak Prescott fell into his lap. He wanted Connor Cook out of Michigan State. So you can sit there and go, boy, you know, the Cowboys, they've made some good decisions. But that was in spite of Jerry Jones. When you have an owner who comes in and Bigfoots and says, I want Johnny Manziel. When you have an owner who says, we're drafting Dwayne Haskins. That's when things go wrong. The great franchises allow people to do their jobs. It's when the owners get in and think they know more. Man, you're great. You knew a whole lot to make a lot of money to be able to buy this team. That doesn't mean you know football. I can make enough money to buy a damn good car, my Mercedes. I don't know how to repair it. I can buy the car. Or in this case, it was given to me. But if I would buy the car, I'm restoring a Porsche. No, I'm paying somebody to restore a Porsche.
You write the checks.
Yes, I don't know how to fix anything. I don't know how to paint it. I can't do body work. Todd wears clothes, but he can't do laundry.
That's a good point.
Todd eats, but he can't cook. I don't know why I turned on you.
That's what you do.
No, there's no reason for that. Yeah, old habits die hard.
This is how we do it.
It had been a couple minutes. So.
No, I hadn't made fun of you, I don't think, today.
It was at least about 9-10 minutes.
No.
You were playing nice today.
You were unscathed first hour.
But the time had come, so you picked that moment.
I got to play catch up here.
It was a good moment to pick.
Thank you, Todd. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk some football here. A little bit more about the Lakers. LeBron's legacy. Oh, he had an easy way. Easy route to another title there. Oh, boy. All right, we'll come back. We'll freshen up our poll question here. Peter King will join us in an hour from now. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Pure talk. I've said this to Fritzy before. You need a seat on an airplane. You don't buy the entire row.
You don't?
No.
Why would you buy the entire row?
Well, if you are paying for unlimited data on your cell phone, should you be doing that when you only use 2 gigs? And the answer is no.
You get ripped off like that.
Yes, but the big carriers are doing that to you. AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, they charge you obscene monthly fees for data that you'll never need, perks you'll never use, and that's why you need to switch to Pure Talk USA. Pure Talk only charges you for the data you need. They're on the same exact towers, so you get the same great coverage at half the cost. So, unlimited talk, text, 2 gigs of data, $20 a month. The average person saving $400 a year.
Seems sensible.
Thank you, Todd. Get unlimited talk, text, plus 2 gigs of data, all for just $20 a month. From your cell phone, dial #250 and say, Dan Patrick, you save 50% off your first month.
Forget those big carriers.
That's #250. Say, Dan Patrick, you'll save 50% off that first month, up to $400 a year. And you'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from Pure Talk USA. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. This program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way. It's the all-new GT four-door coupe because life's a race. Visit your local dealership for a test drive today. In fact, I got my new Mercedes-Benz yesterday. It's out in the parking lot. And I was going to give the Danettes a ride after the show. Everybody in?
After we wash it?
No. Oh. It's already clean. You don't have to do any work this time.
Can we go get some food?
We're going to get, well, I would take you maybe to get some ice cream.
Oh, that could be fun.
Okay.
I like ice cream.
Can we eat in the car?
No, you can't.
You can't.
No, you can't. If you miss any interviews from the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, go to danpatrick.com. Watch and listen from inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave. Mercedes-AMG driving performance. More phone calls coming up. Once again, if you're just joining us, the NFL has issued a statement. Steelers-Titans game rescheduled. They were supposed to play either Monday or Tuesday as a standalone game, and you have one additional Titans player, one personnel member testing positive for COVID-19 today. An announcement of the new game date will be made shortly. He's one of our favorite guests, but we have a hard time pronouncing his name, so we don't have him on that often. Steve Palazzolo joining us on the program from Pro Football Focus. How did I do, Steve?
It was perfect. I feel like you can have me on a little bit more now. Thank you.
Thank you. Stayed up all night practicing in the mirror going, Palazzolo, Palazzolo, Steve Palazzolo. And I did it. Pro Football Focus senior analyst here. All right. Let's start with Sam Darnold going into tonight's game. What is the data that Pro Football Focus has looked at with Sam Darnold this year?
Yeah, he hasn't been great. He's got a grade in the 50s, which is well below average. It's not good at all. But I think coming into the year, I remember saying, look, if Sam Darnold could play a lot better, and you're not even going to see it. You're not going to see it on the stat sheet. You're not going to see it in the win-loss column. And then you see last week, even this not good wide receiver core is completely depleted. The offensive line is not great other than the rookie Mekhi Becton. So the situation is just so bad around Sam Darnold. It's not completely fair. But at the same time, still way too many bad decisions in there in Sam Darnold's game. And I don't think we've really seen the progression that you want to see here in year three.
But it's tough, and I don't know how Pro Football Focus does this, but you look at, like, Daniel Jones. I don't know if Daniel Jones is good or just he's on a bad team, or is it a combination of both? If you look at Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold, how much is them and how much it is they're on a bad team?
Yeah, I mean, Jones's grade is what Jets fans would be hoping for from Darnold. Jones is up in the 70s. He's actually grading really well despite everything around him, despite facing more pressure dropbacks than any other quarterback and a terrible offensive line. And again, not the greatest group of playmakers. So yeah, there is a way, and the way we do it is to try to isolate the quarterback's play as much as possible. So you make a great throw, whether it's caught or dropped, we're still giving you credit for that throw. You still have to make good decisions. You still have to throw the ball accurately, even if you don't have that many guys that are open. So there are ways to kind of parse out the quarterback play from the rest of the supporting cast. But as we've seen with, say, like a Josh Allen in Buffalo, when you have everything around you getting better every single year, it certainly helps your development. That's why I think Allen's really peaking here in year three.
Best rated quarterback by Pro Football Focus this year is who?
It's Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's just been in a whole different world. Him and Russell Wilson are really in a different world. We went back to 2006 and said, okay, through 3 weeks, what are the highest grades we've ever seen? Rodgers is number three. Wilson's number five. So it's two of the better performances we've seen through 3 weeks. They're neck and neck. Wilson's got better stats. I think he's had a little bit more favorable, you know, screens for touchdowns and wide open drag routes for touchdowns. So his stats are a little bit better than Rodgers, but Rodgers throw for throw, he's been the best quarterback in the league.
But there was so much angst, concern about Aaron Rodgers coming into this season, and you didn't draft a wide receiver. You drafted another running back. You drafted a fullback here. Does Rodgers buy in with the game plan with Matt LaFleur? And now what's happened?
The last part, he's bought in. I mean, the biggest thing with Aaron Rodgers, right, the last few years, if you put up his highlight reel against anyone else's, it's right there. His big-time throws, special. Does he turn the ball over? No. He's got the extreme ends of the spectrum have been awesome for Rodgers his entire career. It's that middle bit where in 2011 and 14 and stretches of 16, he was awesome. But in recent years, he lost it a little bit. He didn't trust the system. He wasn't getting the ball out on time. He was trying to play hero ball outside of structure too much. This year, he's getting rid of the ball faster, 2.5 seconds in the pocket when he's usually up around 2.9 or 3. That is a massive difference. That is trust. That is the scheme. And it's not with the best group of receivers either. It's Davante Adams was hurt the other day. And Rodgers is still making these guys look good. He is playing at a special level because he's trusting Matt LaFleur, the system, and hitting open receivers.
But why is it that Tom Brady didn't have weapons, but Cam Newton has weapons in New England?
I don't know that Cam really does. I mean, I think in the Seattle game we saw, that was a really nice job of them opening up the passing attack. They used Julian Edelman a little bit more down the field, exploited a mismatch with Jamal Adams. I still think it's to be seen. You know, Brady was really good through 3 weeks last year as well. I think the passing game in New England still is not one of the better ones in the league. It is Edelman and a whole bunch of question marks with N'Keal Harry and Damir Bird. So I think there's still a little bit more to see about what New England can do through the passing attack. I think they've done a nice job with the run game and building around Cam, but I still don't think they have great weapons or an explosive passing attack that is feared around the NFL.
How have you graded Dak Prescott?
Really high. He's seventh, I believe, in our overall grades. He's grading extremely well. He's, you know, he reminds me of Patrick Mahomes right now, the way Mahomes was at Texas Tech, where there's just no margin for error. You know, you've got 39 points against the Falcons. You know you're in a shootout against the Seattle Seahawks. So Dak is playing well, throw for throw. He's excellent, but there's an interception here, a fumble there. There's just no margin for error there because it's like they're playing Big 12 games. But Dak's doing a really good job of throwing the ball accurately, beyond the sticks, throwing the ball down the field. And yeah, top 10 quarterback so far.
Does it make sense to give that running back that second contract that we saw with Alvin Kamara? You know, Christian McCaffrey got it, Dalvin Cook got it. Because I've been a big proponent of, I'm going to ride you for 5 years, and I'm going to say goodbye to you. Where does Pro Football Focus stand on that?
Yeah, we completely agree. We would never give a second contract. And you always kind of get fooled. Who's the special one? Is it Todd Gurley? Is he special? Well, no. And part of the reason, you know, McCaffrey could have bucked the trend because we're all about the pass game at PFF because that's what's more efficient. So even when you have a pass-catching running back, it's still not great. I think the Panthers' offense could be a little bit better without McCaffrey because they don't feel the need to give him touches. And they have guys like Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore. If they get more targets down the field, that offense will be better. So I love Christian McCaffrey. I love Dalvin Cook. I think he's fantastic. But I would never get into that second contract situation. One, because of the injury situation. And then two, because the production just never matches the dollar amount for a running back.
I was shocked of all the games over the weekend, even Detroit winning in Arizona. I was not shocked by that. But Carolina beating the Chargers. What the hell is going on? I know that everybody's got injuries, but Justin Herbert has played well, I think. How does Pro Football Focus see the Chargers?
Yeah, they're a little confusing because a week before it was like, man, they're giving the Chiefs all that they can handle into overtime, especially defensively. The fact that Mahomes, you know, only had that one really big play the previous week. I think the Chargers offensive line, they've been a disaster for years. Yeah. And we saw a Panthers team that only had 9 pressures through 2 games and they're getting pressure. Brian Burns with a strip sack and they're actually beating this Chargers offensive line. I think that is one of those things that will hurt Herbert's development just a little bit. He's got some good dudes to throw to, obviously, but the O-line has to get better, and I think that's what really did them in last week, even against a bad Panthers pass rush.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus senior analyst. By the way, use the promo code RADIO25. You get 25% off a Pro Football Focus subscription at PFF.com. Who do you guys like tonight?
Oh, man. I mean, I guess the Broncos. You know, I think it's not a great game on paper. I mean, the Darnold should be he should have the advantage from a quarterback situation. Brett Rippon did some nice things in his little relief outing against the Tampa Bay Bucs last week, but both teams are in a rough spot. My biggest concern with the Jets is they're just bad at the most important spots, right? So pass game, wide receiver, cornerback. That was their issue coming into the year. It's their issue right now. Denver can at least play reasonably on the back end. So I think they've got a shot, you know, in this one.
When you look at Drew Brees' performance so far, is there anything different through the first 3 weeks that we should have seen coming late last year?
Yeah, so I mean, if you look at Brees' last 6 games just by PFF grades, almost all of them are between 58 and 62, all 6 of them, right in that range. And that's well below average. It's not good. And he's had some games in there that were pretty good statistically, but the difference in those games is the downfield passing attack. Throwing an interception against Minnesota down the field in the playoffs last year, that carried over into this year. He is just not making those throws down the field. He's not attempting them. He only has 3 attempts beyond 20 yards, 1 for 3 on those passes, and 1 was a busted coverage, the 1 completion. So it's a completely different Saints offense. He's always thrown short. He's always let his playmakers do work, But if you leave the seam open, he's going to zip it in there. If you leave a deep ball open, he's going to hit it. That is the difference with the Saints offense. So they're just, it's a really tight margin of error. You obviously can't rely on Alvin Kamara to take a, you know, a negative 5 yard pass and turn it into a 52 yard touchdown every single week like he's been. So that's the issue right now. Breeze not being aggressive down the field. And when he is, the arm is just not there, and the accuracy that we've normally, you know, been accustomed to.
I saw an article in Pro Football Focus about the possibility of the Falcons trading Matt Ryan. You know, in theory, it sounds interesting that now you're going to tank for Trevor, but who would take Matt Ryan right now? And what are you getting for Matt Ryan? Are you just trying to get him off the books and then you just continue to tank for Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing that I don't think will actually happen. I remember, you know, we were talking about it internally, you know, what if, let's just throw this out there and see. It's obviously uncommon. You know, before Nick Foles took over last week, you'd say, would the Bears be one of those teams? They're sitting there at 3-0. And, you know, Matt Ryan has always been a top tier quarterback, top 10 type of quarterback his entire career. I think in Atlanta, there's just something off. They should have this baseline of success just having Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. Like, they should be winning. You should be able to slot them in for 7 or 8 games just to start the season. And then, okay, let's see how well the defense plays. But something's off down there. And it would be fascinating to see, do you just completely blow it up? And we're at this point in the NFL, though. It's tough to find a spot for Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Because I think there's about 28, 29, 30 legit starting quarterbacks around the NFL. I don't think we've seen that in many, many years. I don't think there's a ton of massive quarterback holes around the NFL. So it'd be tough to find an actual spot for him. But from an Atlanta standpoint, would be interesting to see if they would completely start from scratch.
Has Pro Football Focus examined Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, I mean, we grade every single play from him in college, and he was the highest graded true freshman that we've ever had. Last year as a sophomore, he started out a little bit slow, but you know, if you do like a little cutoff of week 3 or 4, another great outstanding play, and we've got every single one of his plays graded this year. Unbelievable accuracy to all levels of the field. I know it's against the Citadel and against lesser teams, but he's looking really good. And I think, you know, he's got everything you're looking for as far as a downfield playmaker, short area accuracy, decision making. As a true freshman, he only had 3 turnover worthy plays. We've never seen anything like that. That's usually, true freshman is supposed to make mistakes. He didn't. Plus, he's got a little bit of athleticism, right? So he could pick up yards on the ground. So I think when people hype him up as the next Andrew Luck type of prospect, I think it's all pretty legit.
Who's the quarterback we should be talking about in college?
Well, look, I've got some Gator ties through my years. I've loved Danny Werfel growing up, and the grade wasn't great on Kyle Trask coming in. He had some blind spots for linebackers last year, but if you take away those bad plays, you could see the talent. And Trask did not play in high school. He is a late bloomer with NFL-type ability, accuracy, and velocity, and we saw that against Ole Miss last week. So Kyle Trask, I think he's not going to put up Joe Burrow numbers this year despite his start, but he'll be that guy that kind of breaks out. The NFL is going to love him. He just has to lose that blind spot for linebackers that he still kind of has, but I love Kyle Trask and his development.
Yeah, but if we take out the bad plays from Mitchell Trubisky, he still has a job.
He still has more bad plays than everyone else. It was a handful for Trask last year.
Well, yeah, but is Trubisky worse than Carson Wentz this year?
Oh, not this year. Carson Wentz is at a special level of bad right now. It's just not good. I mean, he looks like a pitcher that has the yips. There's something mental going on there. So 2015, if you remember Andrew Luck, the start to his season, it looked nothing like the first 3 years of Andrew Luck's career. Nothing like it at all. He was interceptions, fumbles, accuracy was all over the place. It made zero sense. And people thought he was playing with injury, and then he eventually got hurt and missed a bunch of that season. That's what Wentz feels like. You know, this is nothing like the rest of his career. He is our lowest graded quarterback. He's lowest in accuracy. He's got 12 turnover worthy plays. No one else has more than 6. Like, everything is at the worst spot that it could possibly be in. So I'm expecting it to get better. And it doesn't make sense because it's not in line with the rest of Wentz's career. So I guess I'm chalking it up to this is just a massive slump that he has the talent to come out of.
Great to talk to you again, Steve. And now that I've worked on pronouncing your name, we'll try to have you back on again. Thank you.
Perfect. I'll see you next week.
Okay. I'll see you tomorrow. Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus Senior Analyst. Use the promo code RADIO25 for 25% off a Pro Football Focus subscription at PFF.com. Right before we were having him on, Paulie is questioning Fritzy on how to pronounce Steve Palazzolo's name. And I said, is it Pal? And then Fritzy said, it's Paul. It's P-A-L. I said, is it Palazzolo? Is it Palazzolo? And then you said it was,
I think I was pronouncing it Palazzolo, yeah. But it's actually Palazzolo.
Yeah.
And I even said P-A-L, yet I was still pronouncing it differently than the word
Well, it's
pal.
Like Sal Palantonio, not Paul Antonio. Yes, Paul.
So if it was two L's, it'd be Paul.
Paul.
What if you went Palazzolo? Would that be more fun?
It would be, but it would be incorrect.
Yeah, let's...
I worked too hard last night on Palazzolo. I just walking around the house going, Palazzolo, Palazzolo. Yeah, see...
I thought that those Z's were twos and it was Palatutuolo, but that was incorrect. I was way off. Yeah. Palatutuolo.
Paulie doesn't like Alvin Kamara, apparently, because he did some research here. Because he said, well, McLovin loves Alvin Kamara. And then Paulie said, Alvin Kamara doesn't have yards per reception. Like the things we argue about here. And I said, all right, minimum 50 catches. Who had the fewest yards per reception for a running back last year? And it would be Tariq Cohen who did, not Alvin Kamara.
Alvin Kamara was second worst in the league.
You said he had the worst.
Yes. I was off by one player off in the entire league.
Isn't that amazing, though, that Kamara, that this is running backs, right? Or just
all players.
Players with
usually the, running backs are low on the low end.
Yes, McLovin.
But Kamara was hurt last year. Everyone knows that. Who has higher yards per catch, Alvin Kamara or Christian McCaffrey? That's a good question. It's Kamara.
Career-wise, they're the same.
Well, Kamara's 8.7. McCaffrey's 8.4. So I just looked up. Kamara's, you know, he's like fifth in the league in receiving yards right now. He's a huge receiver.
Yeah, but I don't want to pay that to my running back.
He's kind of like a receiver, though. So is McCaffrey. Those guys run like the little Julian Edelman into the flat thing.
I know. Well, it becomes, that's your running attack.
Yeah.
Where you just throw these little dump passes there. I don't want to spend that kind of money. Like, ask the Jets. Do you think you're going to get your money's worth out of Le'Veon Bell?
Oh, that was one of the worst signs.
You know, the Rams with Todd Gurley and now the Falcons have him, you know, it's, and he got injured, but. At that position, I'll give you a 5-year deal if I take you in the first round. But I don't even want to do that. I don't want to take you in the first round. Yeah, McLovin.
To have a guy like Kamara, you need like a bruiser, like a Mark Ingram, right?
Yes, that was a great changeup. Yes, I love that backfield there. Love it. And now he's with Baltimore.
And McCaffrey got hurt, right? We haven't talked about it.
Yeah.
His career's not going anywhere, by the way.
But he's going to be susceptible to getting hurt. He's the only guy on offense. And they go to him so much, except for that play against the Raiders where they gave it to the fullback. We'll take a break here. Phone calls coming up. Peter King, once again, will join us coming up next hour. I guess he's going to yell at me, according to Fritzy. We'll take a break back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app. At FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh my God.
The play. The play's called play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
I'm gonna play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
1-2 on Freddie Freeman, a base hit wins it. Pache a lead at third, and the pitch on the way. Swung on, driven out to center field to the Braves. Take game one. And Freddie Freeman breaks hearts in Cincinnati and scores Pache. And in 13 innings, the Braves take down the Reds 1-0.
Little over 4.5 hours. Braves in a walk-off. The two teams combined for a postseason record, 37 strikeouts. That's courtesy of The Fan, 680 The Fan, Braves Radio Network. Play of the Day brought to you by Home Depot. They've got delivery options to get you what you need, exactly where you need it, so you can keep doing whatever it is to get the job done. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Paulie has a punting idea. Now, he's brought it up a couple of times. I've avoided it because... It's kind of like Fritzy with the onion bagel.
It's kind of feeling that way, isn't it?
You know, where Paulie will go, hey, I got that punting idea. It's like when Fritzy kept saying, hey, don't forget about my bagel story.
Because Paul's teased it now for 2 weeks.
Yes, he has.
4 days. But this is going to go very poorly.
It feels like it's been 2 weeks. But I just was walking back into my side of the man cave. Paulie goes, hey, I still got that punting idea. I go, all right.
I want a Palazzolo to break it down for me.
All right. So what is your punting idea, Paulie?
Okay, what if you remove the punter position from your team? You don't have a punter on your roster. You get one of your backup running backs and you train him to become a punter. And if he could punt the ball, you know, 38, 36 yards, somewhere around there, that's enough. But the threat of him, a running back, let's say like Ronald Jones of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's quick. He can move, handle the ball. If he was your punter, a good running back, a decent backup running back, and he focused on that, the threat of the fake is huge. So now they can't drop all their people back to return the punt. They have to rush or at least, you know, spy you. And because of that, they're not returning any punts. They're going to be all fair catches because your guys are going to run down. And then when you fake it, you have a real threat there as a fake. Also, you open up another roster spot on your team. Good idea, bad idea, terrible idea.
Well, I always wondered this. Let's say you're inside the opposition's 45-yard line and you're not going to go for it and you're going to punt. Why is it you have your guy who usually kicks it into the end zone? I need a backup punter who doesn't kick it as far. Like, he's not as good as my regular punter, and he might only kick it 38 yards. Like Ronald Jones of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Cosine.
Yes. Yes.
But is that about the distance or accuracy?
Mine is. Because it drives me crazy when, you know, teams like on the 46-yard line of the opposition, they go, fourth and three, we're going to punt. And then they kick it into the end zone. And so what is the net gain there or loss there by a team? Whereas if you had a punter who goes, hey, I can, like right now, if you said, hey, why don't you go out there and punt, and I can only punt at 35 yards, then I'm your guy.
But it would be a lot of fun to wonder if, you know, Christian McCaffrey is going to punt it or run it.
Yeah. But remember Tom Tupa? Tom Tupa was a quarterback in college and also a punter. Danny White, who was the quarterback for the Cowboys, was also their punter.
Now, that's an even better idea, maybe. Yep. You get a option quarterback from college. Imagine Woody Dantzler from Clemson back there, and he could punt, pass, or kick.
Yes, Seton.
Or is the fact that Danny White already did this and nobody did anything with it kind of show that it's not a great idea?
It opens up a third roster spot for another quarterback.
Yes,
anybody.
Yes, McLovin.
Here's the problem. You they know if you have the running back there, you can't. You lose a fake punt because you can't get that surprise element. You know, so you can't get the punt field on. So you're losing the option of a fake punt.
But what if you think there's the possibility of a fake punt every time the running back is there?
I thought there was always the option of a fake punt with the running back.
The key to the Johnny Hecker fake punt is the defense isn't on the field. The special teams are on the field, so you could take advantage of their. You know, you sneak it in there, so you're going to lose that sneak effect. You know what I mean? Like Johnny Hecker will drop back and no one's ready for it. Now they're all ready for it, but you got Woody Dantzler back there.
Yes.
Much like Todd, you know, and how proud we are of him for overcoming such adversity. I'm proud of Paul for trying to think of new ideas and fun. Make the game fun. Keep the game fun.
I don't know if it was worthy of a four-day buildup.
No.
If you would have done this on Monday, we'd all move on with our lives.
Yes, Todd.
I think it's a really good idea. I was watching Syracuse, Georgia Tech. There's a guy who punts for Georgia Tech, number 27.
Presley Harvin.
He's 6 feet tall, borderline 260 pounds. He looks like a linebacker, not a defensive tackle. And he was punting pretty well. And you could do some fun stuff with him.
This is a guy who, his name is Presley Harvin at Georgia Tech. He's 6 foot, 255. He wears number 27. And when he's back there, it looks like the biggest kid in the punt, pass and kick competition. This guy's Andy Reid in the punt, pass, and kick competition.
He will run you over. Imagine that if he fakes the punt and just runs forward.
Yeah. Thank you, Todd.
Imagine that.
It's going to catch on.
Yeah. Everybody's going to be talking about this later on. Pat McAfee's going to be talking about this later on. Greeny's going to talk about this tomorrow. Everybody's going to talk about this. You know, I was wondering, what if you put a running back there as your punter? Peter King is going to yell at me coming up. Also, we'll get his thoughts on rescheduling Titans-Steelers. That's next.